Hey there, hi there. This is Nicole Falcone. You are listening to The Fifth Spot, the podcast that finds me searching for my fifth favorite director, shaking up my entire top five in the process. Thank you for listening. Wherever you listen to your podcasts, you can also find me on Instagram at The Fifth Spot Pod, as well as at CinePhem. CinePhemme. Speaking of CinePhem, I also have a website, CinePhem.com, where I sometimes write about film through a rather perplexed feminist lens. I have often written and spoken of my gravitation toward complicated assholes. Not just speaking romantically here, but talking about film and literary characters, artists of all kinds, as well as qualities in myself that are of that stereotypically masculine ilk. What I'm getting at here is that I crave the kind of feminine complexity that is demonstrated in so many male characters and artists, of which I adore and relate to. Luckily, I do feel like that possibly subversive, complex, the complexities of feminine characters is growing. And here's a segue. The latest embodiment of this for me is the Showtime series Yellow Jackets. Just finished its second season, and man, I can dig it. So Yellow Jackets, you could describe it as Lord of the Flies with 90s teenage girls. That is an oversimplification, but that's a low spoiler description. There's also some Lost, Twin Peaks kind of vibes in there. But it would be a disservice to not acknowledge that Yellow Jackets is its own unique original creation, namely a female or non-binary ensemble of deeply complex characters. And amazing performances. Melanie Lynskey, Christina Ricci, Juliette Lewis, Lauren Ambrose, some very beloved actresses. And the younger cast, who plays the women as teens, are astonishing. Truly, the amount of depth, especially the young Shauna and the young Nat, they consistently blow me away. Anyway, if you have not watched this show yet, it's something special. And it combines horror, drama, comedy, tragedy, trauma. It's all in there. Plus, the timeline of the younger girls is the class of 96. And that would be my class. I graduated in 1996. So this is a nostalgia trip. More than enough angst for this plot, that's for sure. 90s. And the soundtrack is crazy. All around awesomeness. Okay, so before we dive into this week's director, I do just want to remind you that if you hear weird noises, like some weird breathing, weird barking, which I hear right now, weird anything, it's most likely my puppers. Sometimes they're in here with me in the booth. Sometimes, by booth, I mean my closet, but you know. Sometimes they're outside, but they often are making funny noises in here. It is most likely them, though I cannot guarantee that it is not me. All right, so this week's director is Billy Wilder, one of the most versatile classic Hollywood filmmakers. He was born Samuel Wilder in 1906 in Austria. And he was from a family of Polish Jews. His parents owned and ran a successful cake shop, and they wanted their son to join the family business. But we know how that goes, right? Wilder became a journalist instead, and then he was able to make entertainment connections thanks to jazz band leader Paul Whiteman, who Wilder happened to interview. So his interest in film developed into him moving into screenwriting. Billy Wilder went to Hollywood in 1933 and became a U.S. citizen in 1939. There is a cloud of sadness surrounding this, though. His father died when Billy was 22. And then his mother, his stepfather, and his grandmother all lost their lives in the Holocaust. Now, the number one key to Billy Wilder's style is his emphasis on the writing. His cinematography wasn't overly flourished so as not to distract the audience from the story. Wilder's tight plots and exceptional dialogue are his trademark. Also, he was amazing with actors and coaxing the greatest possible performances out of those actors, often working against type or playing comedic scenes straight, only emphasizing the laughs. Speaking of laughs and exquisite writing, even Wilder's death exemplifies these things, evoking the iconic last line of "Some Like It Hot." One obituary for Billy Wilder read, "Billy Wilder is dead. Nobody is perfect." Let's get into his films, shall we? I'm going to highlight my, you guessed it, five favorite Billy Wilder films, in order of their release. So first up, 1944's Double Indemnity, starring Barbara Stanwyck, Edward G. Robinson, and Fred McMurray in the sort of against type casting I was talking about, to great success, I might add. This film begat a lot of noir traditions, like the voiceover narration, Venetian blind lighting, and it's just plain awesome. I'm a huge fan of film noir, neo-noir, Moonlighting's take on noir, all the noir I am a huge fan of, and Double Indemnity is my very favorite of the genre. So great, and the ending is just the best. If you have never seen it, an absolute must. Next up, 1945's The Lost Weekend. Ray Milland in an Oscar-winning performance. The film won Best Picture as well. Great performances from Milland and Jane Wyman. And it's an intense look at alcoholism, which at the time was kind of unheard of, to even touch on that subject. So Wilder was already really establishing himself as one to tackle controversial subjects. Double Indemnity had tested production code because of the adultery involved in the plot. And The Lost Weekend was pissing the production code off again because of the dealing with alcoholism. But both films were not only well received at the time by critics and by audiences, but they have remained bedrocks of film history. And that's just a warm up. The third film I'm highlighting is 1950s Sunset Boulevard. And this one is possibly Billy Wilder's masterpiece. It is a strange combination of humor, tragedy, gothic sensibilities. It's very cynical. It's very meta. And it's a look at Hollywood. Gloria Swanson terrifyingly plays a silent film star who is frozen in a bygone era. William Holden, in what I would say is his greatest performance, he plays a screenwriter who falls prey to her wealth and her obsession. And it's really hard to choose one Billy Wilder film to see. Like, if you could only watch one, I always like to say, if you're only going to do one, do this one. It's really hard to choose with him. Like, really hard. and I don't know the answer. But I might venture this, Sunset Boulevard. It is an eclectic, fascinating film. In 1959 came the release of possibly my favorite Billy Wilder film. Again, an incredibly difficult decision, but yeah, 1959, some like it hot. Not only my favorite Wilder film, but on my top 10 funniest films I've ever seen, along with National Lampoon's Vacation, Young Frankenstein, The Blues Brothers, The Birdcage, Some Like It Hot being a favorite of my mom's. It was the first Wilder film I ever saw. And this one had no seal of approval from the production code upon its release because of its overt sexual comedy and its cross-dressing, a prohibition farce. Tony Curtis and Jack Lemmon play musicians who witness a mafia hit in Chicago, and they go on the lam as women in a female band. They are both wonderful, especially Jack Lemmon, whose comedic timing is impeccable. If you haven't had much experience with Jack Lemmon, by the way, you are missing out on one of the most talented, versatile actors ever. Not only was he hilarious, but he was also an astonishing dramatic actor. Case in point, his own harrowing alcoholic performance in Blake Edwards' 1962 film, The Days of Wine and Roses, with Lee Remick. Wonderful film. And then, of course, back to Some Like It Hot, is Marilyn Monroe, whose performance is charming and memorable, and her absolute must-see film. This movie is a classic in the truest sense of the word. It will never go out of style. And then my fifth and final Wilder pick would be 1960s The Apartment. Jack Lemmon again, Fred McMurray again, and a fresh-faced Shirley MacLaine. it's the story of an insurance clerk, played by Lemmon, with an everyman allure. He lets his co-workers use his apartment for their extramarital affairs, including his boss, McMurray, in the constant hope of moving up in the company. But his entanglement with a discontent elevator girl, Miss Kubelik, played by MacLaine, complicates things quite a bit. The apartment is subtle in its humor, its romance, and it's intensely sensitive. It's a really beautiful film. And its climactic scene was a precursor to When Harry Met Sally. Both films are wonderful choices for New Year's Eve movies, by the way. So those are my top five picks for Billy Wilder. Double Indemnity, The Lost Weekend, Sunset Boulevard, Some Like It Hot, and The Apartment. Honorable mentions would be Stalag 17, which won William Holden his Oscar. And it was, again, a character that he was very iffy about playing because he thought it was too unlikable. He wanted to, make him more likable, but Billy Wilder wasn't having it, and it turned out to be a perfect way to go because, again, playing a little bit against type, William Holden wound up doing a fantastic job and was rewarded for it. And then I would also mention Sabrina from 1954 and The 7 Year Itch, also starring Marilyn Monroe. Did cost her marriage to Joe DiMaggio, but you win some, you lose some. So that's Billy Wilder, one of the all-time greats. And now we are up to our 25th episode, the penultimate episode. In 2 weeks, where we will have a doubleheader. We're going to talk about Steven Spielberg and Charlie Chaplin. And yes, that sounds like a lot to bite off in one episode. Do I have a method to my madness? Of course I do. Come on back and see what it is. And then the final episode of the fifth spot, which will drop on the last day of the month. So join me next time, and I'll talk at you later.